Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Blog Tyrant. Go to blogtyrant.com/filth and get a free individual brainstorming session to help you start a blog or a new career online. Don't just start a website, learn how to make it successful with Blog Tyrant.
Games, welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Not very knowledgeable so far, but yeah.
Well, I've pressed record this week.
Yes,
I've had a promotion. And
yes,
I hit record on our recorder.
Yes,
and it turned a color. I'm pretty sure I've never seen it turn before.
I think it just turned red, which is the universal sign for recording.
But usually the numbers aren't red. Usually the numbers are white.
No, the numbers are absolutely every single time red.
Well, there's no way to ever find out. For sure.
Also, you said you got a promotion. I consider this a demotion because I don't like doing it.
I'm happy to get more responsibilities.
Okay.
Every time I get told to do a new job, regardless of the money involved, that's a promotion.
Okay.
Boy, I hope this isn't recording.
Clean the toilets. I'm the president now.
My name is Tommy Dasilow, and with us as always,
Ben Vanel. Yeah, I forgot we hadn't introduced ourselves.
Yes.
Yet.
People flummoxed as they're listening to this.
And on the ones and twos,
Hannah on the ones and twos. G'day. It's let me take another run at that DJ voice.
Okay.
Here on the ones and twos for your drive home, it's Adam, Big Adam in the box in the morning. Who's in the box? I'm in the box.
And I'm Ben Vanel, and we've got over here Tommy Dasilow too.
Oh, Ben, you can't say that.
Now listen, boys. Fossil. Come on, Fossil.
There's that trend in breakfast radio, especially in Melbourne, where, you know, the person who's paneling kind of ends up on the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's sort of a bit of what you were doing then, although it's pretty rare that they lean in and they're like, is this recording? Are we going out right now? This desk is a colour I've never seen before.
It's Fifi Fevin the idiot.
It's Fifi Fevin the work experience kid. Should we just put our cards on the table and say we are doing this significantly in advance of its release?
No.
Okay.
It is January the 9th, 2004.
This is live. We're doing this live.
We're streaming for the first time.
Yeah. No, yes, you're right, Tommy. We're doing this in advance. Comedy festival's coming up and some of us are going out.
I've been away in Adelaide and New Zealand. And now I'm back though. And boy, they were fun.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Adelaide was amazing. I had an incredible time there. That city continues to be a delight.
Wow.
And
the knowing laugh there.
New Zealand was probably really nice. I heard about a good museum before I went, and then I went to that museum and I enjoyed it.
You didn't just sleep in and then have a meal nearby and talk to your friends and not go to the museum?
You didn't get put off by the fact that it wasn't free to get into the museum?
I absolutely would. I love museums. They're the best thing to go to in any city if you go there.
Yes, to be fair, your exploits in other cities that I've heard of do involve museums.
Yeah, I like museums and zoos.
Yeah, nice.
If you can fucking chuck some old animals in a building, motherfucker,
wow,
you have gotten me involved.
There's some museums have animal skeletons
in
them.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Do you think I've not noticed?
I was testing you.
That's what I race to. I run to them and then I trip over and Paul Blart style.
A huge stegosaur just slowly collapses.
Yeah.
Big fan of the guided audio tour.
I'm not into them.
No.
Really?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, neither. I just like to go and absorb it at my own pace.
No, I need to be told what to think.
I would feel rushed by them. I did one of them at the Melbourne Zoo. It was like a nighttime one, an evening zoo walk around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on iPhones or iPods, but video capability.
Mm.
When you get to the elephants, it's like, one of these gave birth not that long ago. Want to see it? And then on the iPod, a fucking elephant.
Horrific.
Yeah, oh. Ace Ventura 2 starts playing.
Well, I wouldn't do it. Yeah, I mean, the zoo, I wouldn't see the point in that. Mm. But like a museum where it's like taking you around and like giving you the, you know, the chronological kind of thing.
But
like
it has that. All of that on the written down for you.
Yeah, but, you know, reading is for idiots. And I think the listeners of this will agree with me on that one.
Yes.
I like that you read so little it took you halfway through the word agree, you had to remember what the second half of the word agree was.
Fuck, again, really hoping I could have gotten away with that. Nothing gets past you.
No. Nope.
Nothing gets past you.
That's why he's pedaling.
That's what I get from living that museum lifestyle. I notice every little trick everybody tries to pull.
So, yeah, we are doing this, a little bit in advance. It's the week that Comedy Festival is starting, so probably worth us plugging all of the shows that we're doing, which my stand-up show, Leisure Suit Tommy, is starting on March the 28th. Well, it will have started by the time people hear this. March the 28th it started. It's on until April the 10th and then also the 15th and the 22nd at the Coopers Inn, comedyfestival.com.au for tickets to that one. Adam Knox.
My show would have just finished half an hour ago or so.
Already been nominated for the Barry Award too.
Yeah.
Unprecedented.
Yeah. It will be in 3 days. It will turn out it was a mistake. And they will make me give back my Barry, which I haven't even won yet. They're going to make me go out and buy a trophy.
And give it to Moonlight.
Yeah. Yeah, they make you give back the envelope that had the nomination.
I love a joke from the previous Oscars.
Yeah.
The one.
And that's why you laughed so loud.
It's called This Show is Good and Funny, Attendance Appreciated, and I mean every word of that. And I want you to all come to it at 6:30 p.m. at Trades Hall from the 29th, which is today, until the 22nd of April, which is a few Sundays from now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I'm in a show called The Death of Chim Cop, featuring one Adam Knox, one Timothy Clark, one Rosie Vanell, and one Ben Vanell. It's on at 8:30 p.m., so about half an hour from now, if you're listening right when this comes out.
Oh, my God. I hope someone
races
legs
down,
it to the venue tonight. Please, and if you are that person, hang around after the show. Let Ben and Adam know that. Well, you could make it to mine. I'm at 8:20.
Yeah.
Pick one of our shows.
Oh, you're never going to make it to that. 8:30, though, I think is doable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just race down, and then when you get there, you'll be running so fast that Paul Blart style, you fall over and end up on the stage, and we incorporate you into the show.
Yes.
But, yeah, please stick around and if you do that to either of our shows on this day that this is out, let us know. We will look at you with a look of confusion because we're saying this about 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
We definitely will have forgotten that we've put this out there, but please, try us.
And don't talk to us on any other night you come. That's the deal. The Death of Chim Cop, it's a sketch comedy show. It's sort of like a cinematic narrative thing. It's kind of like we do a dumb movie on stage, and it's fun. It's a fun time.
It's like one of the Naked Gun movies, sort of, but Ben has never seen any of the Naked Gun movies, which is fucking unbelievable.
Yes. I refuse to be tainted by that influence. I want to do only original jokes.
Like the person who designs Nike shoes hadn't heard of Adidas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's something like that.
Yes.
And weirdly enough, in your version, there's somehow more O.J. Simpson, which is confusing.
There are actually a couple of OJ jokes.
Yes. Anyway, that's our plugs out of the way. Comedyfestival.com.au for tickets to all of our shows.
Yeah, so we're getting this stockpile because we know that we'll be busy in this week. So
you're welcome.
Apologies if there's been any big breaking news this week.
The big thing will be Far Cry 5 has just come out, and we'll be talking about that next week.
Yes.
I imagine. But yeah, other than that, I was about to say, and also the news but of course I don't know what it is because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time and goodbye. We figured this week we've got a big old mailbag there that's been, had a lot of stuff come into it in the last little while. We kind of went looking for it recently, like we asked people to send us stuff. We did an episode and we had still so much left over and still more new questions coming in that we thought this was a good week to go in some of the excellent questions and topics that people sent us.
Yeah, and we had a really good time on that episode, just kind of talking a bit more about topics that we don't get to touch on as much.
Yep. Some fun discussion.
That's really sounded like you had fun.
Yeah.
More or less fun than a museum.
I think museums are really fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So less fun. If you're listening to this while you're walking around a museum, though.
Oh, there we go.
Motherfucker, you got it sorted.
Yeah, this is your audio guide through the museum.
Yeah.
So
that's an old insect.
The planet,
look at that
yeah.
fucking thing. The plan imagine is that this, how big it would have been.
The plan is that this syncs up perfectly with the Guggenheim.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
you put Dark Side of the Moon on as well underneath this, it makes it a lot less
you get
easy
a free iPhone 5.
So should we just jump in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
To what?
The pool. Yeah. Splash. Connor has written in.
Classic OJ.
Connor's our first cab off the rank.
Mm.
What are some good games for people who are just shit at video games? Tommy specifically. Most of the games he didn't write that. Most of the games you guys talk about on the podcast sound really fun, but I just know that I'd be terrible at them. For context, it took me about 4 to 5 months for me to finish the Crash Bandicoot trilogy last year, and I really like the aesthetic of Cuphead, but I know I wouldn't get past level one.
Now, I've had a pre-read of this email.
Oh,
cheeky.
How dare you?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Those are both really hard games. Like Crash Bandicoot, they are difficult platformers.
Yeah, and and there's three of them in that package. Yeah. Like, no need to be ashamed about spending 4 months on three games. Mm. Like, that's fine.
That's fine.
But I think the general sentiment is interesting because especially like similar thoughts of getting people who don't play video games, what's a good entry level sort of thing.
Mm.
And just the thing of video games, I can't remember if we've discussed this before, if this is just something that I've heard around the
screamed
traps.
Into the darkness like you're trying to sleep.
Video games are like the only thing that has a barrier of entry to enjoying the whole thing.
Mm.
I guess there are some books that are kind of difficult to read the language of, like if you're going to read something complicated like a fucking, you know, Harry Potter book or something, then you're going to have a hard time. But like if you can get your way through a book or
what's your favorite book?
I've
got this weird memory that you said that you don't like reading and you don't like books because you're too impatient. Is that true?
No, that's not me.
Okay.
I like reading and I like books. I just don't have time for it a lot of the time.
Right.
But I don't know. It depends what day you catch me on. And as it's today, I'm going to say The General Work of Terry Pratchett is my favorite series of books.
I was listening to the first one as an audiobook the other night and it's really good.
I think I would hate to listen to them as audiobooks because there's something about the tone of the comedy writing
the humor,
in that
book.
I think would bother me if it was said to me more than me reading it with my voice in my head.
It was a dude who got it and he delivered it well. It's worth listening to.
They're good.
Yeah.
I like Kurt Vonnegut
as
a person. Never read one of his books.
Yeah, he's actually... you'll find out later.
What? Is there news about him? my friend Kurt Vonnegut, who I'm planning on visiting later today.
I mean, he's... just give him a call.
I don't know. I like some books.
But you're right. Video games is the only medium I can think of that really has a genuine barrier in terms of response time, reflexes, time commitment. Like, it's all of these things combined.
Yeah, if you don't know how they work, like, you are just not going to be able to get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain games can it took me a few goes to get into things like Dark Souls and whatever,
right?
Because you need to understand the rhythm of them, before, and you need to have some certain level of just like motor competency with
what
it's asking
you to do.
Well,
the thing about them is that they're constantly, as they evolve, they're trying to still retain a level of difficulty for the people that have been playing them for now, 30 years or something.
Mm.
So even if you are locked into it and you do get it, they're constantly trying to flummox you and kind of outdo you in a certain way.
Yeah, totally. And that's you don't realize how much, not baggage, what's the word, how much built-in knowledge of these sort of complicated things are just in the back of your head.
Yes.
Yeah. Like with first-person shooters, like there's a certain amount of muscle memory that allows you to play the latest Call of Duty that someone coming to games for the first time, there's no way you're going to be able to play them or experience them in the way they're supposed to be experienced.
Yeah. It's not really a natural thing to do.
Yeah.
Even something that you think of as the easiest thing, like say to get to grips with, but let's say a Mario platformer, which is one button to jump and then moving around. Like if I gave that to my dad, he wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like he would be put off by that.
So do you know the other big thing I think is like, you've got like all that motor stuff is like definitely a part of it, but something that's really interesting to see someone who doesn't play video games ever – butt their head against is like shitty, weird game logic that you take for granted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure. And people going like, why doesn't this work? There's no reason that this idea I've had shouldn't work.
Yeah.
Or like, why do I have to talk to this person a second time to get them to give me this quest?
I tried to get my ex-girlfriend into games and we started with Firewatch because the like art style was really interesting to her and it was like very visually appealing in a instant kind of way. But then trying to get her to move around in a first-person shooter way and even know where to go. Like, there's so many things that you, like, instinctively, like, well, you just follow that path.
Yeah.
There's something is going to be down that path because it's a game.
But
it's
why? Been designed. But how do you know that?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't I go? The woman told me just wait here, so I'm going to wait here. But, like, right. No, it's a video game, so you've got to wander off. Don't follow anyone's instructions. Yeah.
And is that what broke you guys up and then you moved into the bush?
Exactly. Yes. But you know who is really into games, and maybe this speaks to that thing of experience and history and built-in knowledge, my dad.
Right. Mm.
Like, he loves games. And he recently had this discussion about it where he was like, he'd been trying to play a lot of PS3 games and he kind of just was giving up. Because
he was putting them into a PS2.
Oh.
His dad's that fucking stupid that the reason wasn't anything to do with the game like you'd thought it'd have been.
Yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
But he was getting frustrated because they were too hard and he wasn't persisting with them. And then he just had some downtime recently and he was like, I'm going to give, I think it was Assassin's Creed 2, another go.
Right.
And he just put more time into it and he was like, oh, I've got it. I've realized you have to get good at the game before you enjoy them. Mm. And this is something we talked a bit about on our Bandcamp about DOS games, where you used to just play games to get a high score, to be successful at them without really enjoying the process. And that's not how games are made now. You've got to enjoy the whole experience and you've got to be good at it to enjoy it.
I've been thinking about it a bit recently because I posted this in our Facebook group, but my dad was asking about this podcast and then games as a whole and everything. And so explaining the Switch to him and sort of explaining, just to how games work and all that sort of stuff. And he, like, I think he would be really interested in anything that's kind of puzzle solving-y. So I kind of was almost thinking about, like, oh, maybe I'll get him a 2DS and get him like one of those brain training games and like a Professor Layton stuff he was like really interested in because it's like he loves kind of Sherlock Holmes and mystery sort of stuff. But again, for him, it generationally, that barrier of just like anything with an interface where it's more than just flicking on a Switch, like having to go and like select it from a menu and then set up a new game and all that. Again, what you were saying about, Adam, about the inbuilt knowledge of like, you just scroll through the menu, you just go up and down and then you hit A. It's like, what's any of that mean? Why? Yeah. Why do I do that? And it's the same with, you can get some of that stuff on iOS, but he's got an iPhone and he knows how to text and call and take photos and that's about it. He's like, what's the app store? What are apps? I'm like, all that stuff on the screen, like when you're texting me, that's an app. But he just doesn't, something that is, you wouldn't think you could get more simple than just it's there on the screen and you touch it and then you're in it.
Yeah.
That still is too much of a barrier.
Totally. Yeah, right.
I remember my dad played through Call of Duty 1 and 4
on two
separate occasions. And the thing that he ran up against in both of them was like he knew he was playing it on the PC and he knew like move the mouse and click on the guy and he'll die.
I can
point and click at stuff. I've used a computer.
Yes.
These buttons move me around. I get that. But there were situations in it where it's like, oh, well, you have to move up because they're going to spawn infinitely and they'll keep coming at you until you move to this point. And he's like, well, why?
Right.
Why would there be infinite Germans?
Right.
There aren't infinite.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah. We should have lost this war.
Yeah.
They deserve to win if there's infinite of them. They are the majority now, which makes them correct.
Yeah, it should just still be going.
Yeah, but it's stuff like that. So in terms of those things, stuff like Breath of the Wild, weirdly, is something that I've seen a lot of people who aren't really into games get into because ideas that you have work in that game.
Right.
Things that you think should logically happen kind of just do.
And you can go in there and it's not really pushing you towards doing these objectives.
If you walk in any direction, you'll find something to do.
It seems
counterintuitive because it's pretty complicated.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. It would be that thing of like, okay, what do I do? Where's my guidelines? What am I doing? I would have thought like Mario, like anything that replicates something in the real world, Mario Kart, something like that, is got to be easier to get into.
But well, it naturally gives you those things, because if you're like in the woods, you're going to walk in a direction. Then if you see somebody, you're going to walk up to, you know, like it, yeah. It's sort of, it happens quite organically in that game. Which
it would be cool for that purpose if you could turn off enemies and stuff and just have it as a thing where you just walk around in this nice world.
Well, like that Assassin's Creed thing, speaking of museums.
Yeah, there's a, this is a few weeks ago now.
Yeah. But I haven't tried it yet, but in Assassin's Creed Origins, there's basically you walk around Egypt and it tells you fun little facts about Egypt.
Mm. Yeah.
They've covered up all the like nudity on the statues.
Oh, man.
Which is weird.
Like, it's fucking lame.
It's also kind of gross in the way of like, fuck you. Don't change history for your own fucking puritanical weird things now.
Totally. Bodies aren't gross. Attitudes are.
Let me see that elephant fucking getting a kid out of its elephant mutt.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me eat Pikachu's ass.
I want to do that from a month ago.
Yeah. I weirdly enough, I remember when I had the Nintendo 64, I had Pilot Wings on it. Mm. And my dad being really into that because he has a pilot's license and he's flown planes in the past. So I kind of, yeah, I mean, I would love to spend a day with him just showing him, but it's like needing some good entry level stuff. And I really hope there's some kind of like, there is a flight simulator out on the Switch that I've been, I haven't really looked into enough to whether it's good or not, but I've been thinking, oh, maybe I should just get that and go and like, I think he would enjoy something like that. Mm. But I think that's kind of the extent of where my dad would be able to pick up on something, because flying is just like, yep, here you are. Like, I have an interest in this from the real world, and it's like up, down, left, right. Mm. You got to go through these things. There's no enemies. There's no like crazy objectives. There's no, you know what I mean? There's no equipping. Yeah. It's just literally you soar around on your telly.
It's really interesting. I think our dads descend in age, right, in terms of their ability with
mine
games.
Mine increases in age year by year.
No, but in terms of Tommy's, I think, is the oldest, and I think yours is the middle, and mine's the youngest.
Right.
And so my dad's experience with games is like he's always been a gamer, so his stuff with the interfaces and the logic is all there. It's more the really modern games. It's a lot of the open world games where it's like the more the figuring out how to get the most out of them is the thing that he's had an issue with. But now he's like, he loves The Witcher 3. Like, he's fully into those games.
Right.
Mine as the middle dad understands the basics of like, I need to shoot the enemies, but it's the other things put on top of that that seem illogical, which I think he's right about. But more to Connor's point.
And mine as the old dad knows fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Because he's, well, yeah, dad was 40 when he had me, which was 86. So that's, you're 40 around the time that that stuff is really mid-80s when consoles
like
and stuff.
Late 70s with Space Invaders and shit as well. Yeah, like in pubs.
Well, that's the thing. My dad was a teenager in the 70s. So that was just prime time.
And my dad was like my age then.
Right.
So I would go like, oh, cool. But it's sort of like with, I don't know.
Fidget spinners.
this bloody rap music they're all listening to today.
Yeah. To this point of people who are terrible at games.
Because it sounds like Connor's into games, but doesn't. Like stuff like Kirby and things like Journey or Inside and things like that, where they're kind of not simple, but. Or they're not easy, but it's simple what you have to do.
Sure. Well, I mean, you mentioned Firewatch before. Firewatch was on my list of what you'd recommend. Any kind of like quote-unquote walking simulator, like Edith Finch as well, like stuff where you can't really – it's not so much challenge-based. I guess the Telltale stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and anything where like reaction time and spatial judgment is taken out of it. That tends to be the thing that people consider to be difficulty.
Well, I think walking simulators like what was that game we played recently? What Remains of Edith Finch?
Mm. Yeah.
Games where you can gradually learn how to smoothly and confidently control a first-person shooter character without the issue of having to get killed over and over again.
Yeah.
It's probably something that's good to play.
And yeah, stuff like Inside teaches you how to play a Mario game, but the difficulty isn't so much the platforming as figuring out the puzzle and how that's going to work beforehand.
Mm. Also, mobile games, you know, typically are not, you know, like Monument Valley 3s, like things that are, Monument Valley is kind of just a little weird phone experience, and threes is like a little puzzler thing where you're just going to constantly be trying to up your high score. Like those are really easy ones to recommend to people who aren't as versed in games.
Yep.
Constantly. So to answer your question, Connor, get Dark Souls and play it until you're good, and then we'll fucking let you talk to us, mate. Because it's really important to be very, very good at video games.
Yes.
It's
damn super important. You filthy casual, Connor.
Next email comes in from Eric. He says, hey, guys.
Only emails from people who finish Crash Bandicoot trilogy in 1 week from now on. Thanks.
Hey, guys. Huge fan of the podcast. Says Eric, I was wondering what some
you
of
you didn't
your...
go blah, 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 blah.
Because I put these emails in here and took out all the blah, blahs.
Okay.
Because I'm okay. I just don't feel comfortable going like, I love you guys.
No,
because I'm saying
fair.
It about myself.
That's
I can't
fair.
Say that about myself.
I put out a tweet recently where I legitimately started listening to a podcast and they start their every episode reading their positive iTunes reviews, and I did not like that.
Oh, yeah,
at all.
The minute to ask you what podcast that was.
I'll tell you off air. Yeah, yeah. It's a little Dum Dum Club.
Oh, fuck. That's my one. Doesn't sound like us at all. The opposite.
Eric says, I was wondering what some of your favorite games that no one seems to remember. What are some of your favorite games that no one seems to remember? First time I ever used analog sticks, my controller was playing Ape Escape 1 on PS1 in 1999. That's such an interesting way. The first time I ever used analog sticks, my controller was playing Ape Escape.
My controller became sentient. Yes. And I sat there and watched it play itself.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was what... That was the analog stick one.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's always been one of my favorites, even though no one remembers it. What are your favorite? Yeah. You're wrong, Eric.
Yeah. Everyone remembers that game.
Yeah.
I feel like of a certain age you would, but I don't know if you were younger.
Well, that's just how memory works.
That's everything.
I know what the fucking World War I was.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there.
It was a great
thank
war.
God. What are your favorite games that no one seems to remember? $10 on Tommy saying some obscure Mario game no one's ever heard of.
Unnecessary for him to write that. Even more unnecessary for you to read it out.
Yeah, you didn't filter that out.
I was questioning whether or not to, but I ended up going for it because he's thrown it in there and I want to represent the people.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Blah, blah, blah. Tommy sucks. I actually wrote a bit of a list of obscure stuff that that people may not be too familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But the Nintendo 64 was the console where I ended up getting most things that were on there.
Right.
I don't know. It felt like a lot of stuff came out on there, especially like 3D platformers.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, talked a lot in the past about the games of Rareware like Banjo-Kazooie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they're less... well-known games like Jet Force Gemini, which was like a third-person space shooter kind of game where you could play as a boy or a girl and then their dog eventually and they all kind of handle
it's a slippery slope. First
really
it's
is.
Boys and girls and it's dogs.
Yeah, there's a plebiscite in level 4 and then all of a sudden you're playing as a fucking dog.
I remember that one. Insects, yeah. Big alien insects were your enemies and it had great music.
Yeah, never got the same level as hype as their other games, but I had a lot of fun with that. Blast Call was another one that they made.
That was sick.
I would love them to re-release. Oh, well, I think they've re-released all this stuff.
They were in the Rare collection thing.
Yeah, right.
Another game called Space Station Silicon Valley.
Oh, yeah, you've told me about that.
I think I've talked about this before.
It's
levels where you're like a... Yeah, so you're in a space station that's like an artificial kind of biodome thing.
Mm.
And there's robot recreations of animals and you're playing like a little computer chip and you... possess the different animals and that to solve puzzles. It's kind of a very, very primitive version of Mario being able to capture stuff with his hat, essentially.
Yeah. There's a weird lineage too that goes the people who made Lemmings made that and then made GTA 3.
Yes.
There's like a strange through line there that's really cool.
Yeah. Beetle Adventure Racing was something we talked about the other week, which I really enjoyed on the 64. Then like just obscure platformers and stuff. Like there was one called Chameleon Twist.
Yeah, all those ones like fucking Glover.
Yep.
And those that you play as Danny Glover.
Nice.
And you're a glove and you roll a ball around or something.
That's familiar.
Tonic Trouble.
Tonic Trouble, yeah.
Pandemonium was one that I played. It was a PS1.
40 Winks.
Yeah.
Rascal.
But this era of...
Small Soldiers was based on the movie.
Ah, yeah. Nice.
But yeah, just this real era of like come up with a character and put him in a 3D platformer. Yeah. Mischief Makers was a 2D platformer that was on there that I really enjoyed. I've talked about it so much on the show, but Goof Troop on the Super Nintendo is such a favorite of mine. The first console I ever got was an NES that my mum got a copy of Tom and Jerry with it because my name is Tom. And then do you remember this? Like old NES cartridges, ones that weren't licensed by Nintendo... They would be like a cartridge that had like an open bit on the end where you would have to plug an official Nintendo cartridge into to get them to work.
Oh, I don't think I ever saw that.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
And you could still just get them in Target even though they're essentially bootlegs.
Huh.
Yeah, but they basically, if Nintendo, because Nintendo had to send out the cartridges and like officially license everything themselves. So yeah, these games would come out where it would basically piggyback on what is in an officially licensed cartridge.
Right.
And then use it to power this game that was inside. Wow. So we had like a game that was one of them that was like where you played like a polar bear and you had to like defend your little ice cave.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There was a thing I learned about the other day that was for the Nintendo 64 that was like a disc drive. It was like a bootleg thing that would plug in at the bottom and it would just read burnt CDs.
Oh, wow.
And so you would plug in one of certain games into the top that had whatever code it needed to trick it into running, and then you'd run Nintendo 64 games off of the CD.
Wow.
That was in this big fucking thing down the bottom.
Wow.
And apparently at the time it was like a big deal because it's like, oh, well, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I never heard of that.
No,
Nintendo's consoles have been easy to hack ever since.
Well, and then my cousin had a Super Nintendo thing where you put floppy disks in it and it would run whatever.
Wow.
Played a bunch of fucking Bubsy.
Game Genie. Remember the Game Genie for the NES?
You had to rub the NES 3 times and then he'd pop out and come all over you.
That's exactly what it was.
Those were like cheat things, weren't they?
Yeah.
You could access cheat codes or whatever.
Yeah, but I also think maybe you could get games through them as well.
There was a lot of wild shit with all the cartridge systems, the weird fucking stuff you had to do to make piracy happen on those, and people fucking did it.
Yeah.
And you were playing Donkey Kong Country 2 off of floppy disks.
What about games for you, Nox?
Well, I guess they're obscure. Like, I used to really love
it's
a bunch
of... It's kind of hard to classify exactly what is obscure now, because everything kind of, if it's good enough, has a bit of a renaissance where whatever Kotaku will do an article like, oh, remember this? Or it gets re-released on a store, like people...
Totally.
People
There's a bunch of old Sega ones that seem like they're dead forever.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Like Panzer Dragoon and Jet Set Radio were two that I fucking loved at the time, and they haven't had a whisper of doing anything with them in 15 years plus. So, but Shenmue fucking happened, so anything could happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's what kills me about Goof Troop. I love it, but it's because it's licensed. And, like, there's heaps of great licensed Disney stuff on the Mega Drive as well that is just never, that I guess, it's just not possible for them to reboot it or like, I mean, they rebooted Castle of Illusion, which is like a Master System Mickey game. They, like, remade that. So it kind of does happen, but I think it's rare that they give enough of a fuck to bother.
There's a bunch of stuff from that like sort of late 90s Sega that I would – that like weird shit like Samba de Amigo and Space Channel 5 and all these fucking strange I guess has come back.
I never played any of that stuff.
My cousin had a – again, my cousin, he was fucking – well, this is two different cousins actually. So I got a fucking – our family gatherings, we all have like –
there's three of you.
Big electronic visors and we walk around and greet each other by like typing computers that are attached to our chests.
Hell yeah.
But
like Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm friends with these – my cousins are French. That sort of stuff, I guess, happens with indie things now, but like there's a bunch of shit that didn't come over here too, like Sega Gaga is a game where you run Sega and that fucking talking fish one, whatever he was called.
Yeah, Billy the Big Mouth Bass.
That's the one. He had a hell of a set of pipes on him.
And I never played Jet Set Radio, and all you hear about it is just really, really great stuff. And it, I would love to see that get a redo.
Someone recently made a fake album for the third one.
Yeah,
right. That was fucking awesome. So Google that somehow, because I don't know. I don't remember. What about you, Ben? Obscure.
There's a series of games. From a company I've forgotten.
Grand Theft Auto.
No, they were city building games, and they weren't city building games on the scale of a Sim City.
Right.
They were much more, they were smaller, they were more like, I guess, villages. They were Caesar were the first series, and then they did one which is like kind of my favorite game, but I don't say it is my favorite because no one else knows it.
Pharaoh
was in there. Right. Zeus is my favorite.
Okay, Zeus.
It was the first game I ever bought, I think, myself from a swap meet.
Right.
Nice.
And yeah, it's just this great ancient Greek setting, city building game where it's just perfectly balanced. It can be really, really difficult, but
Were they the ones where you had sort of like a book and you would go left and like it was like you were seeing a grid, like a block, and you would move that block like it was on top of a table? Does that make sense?
Sort of. I don't – maybe the older ones were like that. Zeus was much more just like isometric, SimCity view,
okay,
a bit closer in than an actual city. And it was, yeah, all about the rhythms of like – You got to get some food, so you place a market, then you build some farms, then the guy from the market can go in this amount of distance to the houses you build. The houses need what? So it's all this
those
like
fucking suburban people never go with outside of a certain distance of where they're from.
Their little bubble.
You got to get out there and live in the world.
But it was this great balance of gameplay mechanics and ancient Greek like mythology and stories and stuff as well. And yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anyone else play it.
Right. Yeah. You just reminded me of something that I probably should have brought up in the Bandcamp MS-DOS episode we did, but a fucking computer swap, mate. Oh, how good.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, going down. I think that was where I got the Simpsons Doom patch. It's like some dodgy guy selling it on a floppy disk with this like shit label that he'd printed himself with like a bad stretched JPEG of Mo holding a shotgun, like... Yeah, like going in and not, yeah, like because you'd always have the desks of people who were just selling like actual boxed Diablo.
Yes.
You're like, get out of here, idiot. You go right up the back and it's like just, I don't know who they've conned or what's going on.
What are you doing here, cop?
Yeah. I remember actually like this speaks to how forgotten this game is now. This was the only place I could buy it.
Right.
It wasn't in stores, or if it was, there was one copy that was sold out. I had to find this one guy who had a stall at this swap meet every month. And
his name was Zeus.
Yeah.
Please, buy my game.
Is that the end of that question?
Unless you've all got more.
No.
No.
No, I'm.
Have you been able to find it since? You haven't been able to play it since? Like on I've, found online or anything?
I've found it online.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I found it online for Windows only, and I did this weird thing where I got it onto my Mac and working in some weird backdoor action. But
hell yeah!
Speaking of the Greeks,
well, let's take the really natural break in between questions there that I just slotted into very seamlessly to talk about our sponsor for this week.
Mm.
The episode
Greek anal sex is sponsoring us.
Greek anal sex.
Only that type.
Yeah.
They were pretty generous with it, you have to admit. They really pretty quickly gave the rights up to the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's open source now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they kept experimenting. There was like thunderbolts and animals involved. It was great. It was good shit.
It's the Wild West, man. Wild South.
Yes. Well, the Wild Greek. The Wild Greece.
What?
The Wild Central Europe.
Oh, I
mean
your butthole is south. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
If any of our listeners work for Big Anal and can get them on board as a sponsor one week, please let us know.
This week is not sponsored by Big Anal. This episode is sponsored by Blog Tyrant. You can go to blogtyrant.com/filth and get an individual brainstorming session from Blog Tyrant to help you start a blog or a career online. It's all about starting a website, but not just starting one. Any company can give you a website and a bunch of...
I could fucking do that for you. www.biganal.com.
Right.
Yeah, right.
But Blog Tyrant is about teaching you how to start one and how to make it successful.
Right.
So with more and more people looking to the internet to pursue a hobby, support an existing career, or start a little something on the side...
Hell yeah.
Blog Tyrant is an invaluable resource with step-by-step guides on creating websites and making sure you get plenty of visitors. Blog Tyrant has been helping people build successful blogs and websites for almost 10 years. Ooh. That's a decade
almost.
In Greek.
Almost.
Now, we do a lot of stuff online.
Mm.
That is where the majority of... I would say it's where our better work is.
Yes, agreed.
It's weird because we record this in the real world, offline.
Yeah.
Everything else to do with it online.
Yeah, and the real world stuff is a real chore.
Yeah, yeah.
The second we turn that shit into ones and zeros, that's when the money starts coming in.
Yeah,
that's
this
right.
This right now, us in this room, looking at each other, the worst bit by far.
The worst bit of my week.
Just a nightmare.
Yeah. As soon as this turns off, though... That's when the good shit happened.
That's right. I actually started a blog when I was like 20.
Here we go.
That literally turned into my career. I was at uni.
Episode one is the most disappointing film that I have seen.
And then I do like bad comedy sketches on the side. Yeah, I started a blog when I was in uni and I didn't know shit about shit. And it took me a few years to turn that into an actual job. And now I'm a digital producer as my job. Like that's... Yeah.
A digi pro, they call them.
Yeah, a digi pro.
Digital prod.
Big anal. But yeah, I wish I had someone to be like, oh, if you have this in your headline, people will actually find it through Google.
It's crazy with this stuff how there are just literal, actual, no, definitely do this things that are simple, but you need to know them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to fucking tell you them.
No.
I'm keeping them secret for my shit.
Yeah.
For my website. I've got a successful website. Have I ever told you about that?
No.
Facebook.com.
That's you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're the guy who started Facebook.
I reckon you should change it to the Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell you what's cooler than that.
What?
You know what's cooler than a joke about the social network?
What?
A million jokes about the social network.
Oh, well, this ad was worth $1 billion. Yeah, so if you are thinking of starting a blog but you want it to actually get readers, then go to blogtyrant.com. And if you go to blogtyrant.com/filth, you get a free email feedback session from the person who runs Blog Tyrant on how to make a good blog. So thank you, Blog Tyrant, for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah. And what was where do you go?
blogtyrant.com/filth.
Hell yeah. That's how you get noticed on the internet. Or you email us, like Hank Pym has done, which is definitely his real name.
Yeah.
Hank Hill?
So this is sort of a complicated email, but I'm going to read the entire thing.
Okay.
How about full creative control in a game is his opening salvo.
All right.
Maybe I like not these the best emails to us where people think that they're like pitching an ad, like they're in Mad Men. Like,
yeah.
Just ask us a question. You don't need to fucking set
picture
the scene.
A world in which you get the full creative control of a game.
Now
that world can become a reality.
You wake
Nobody's
up,
buying
you
a game. They're buying a lifestyle.
You wake up, you check your email. A listener of your podcast has sent you an email. That email is happening right now. Gentlemen, hello.
The ability to create and do anything. My idea when I was younger came from wanting to download mods for PC games but not having a powerful enough PC to run any of those games. I was stuck on a console, the original Xbox, where for the most part you could not freely change a game as you wanted, like creating new maps. Then a game called Pariah came out on the Xbox. Speaking of obscure games, this was like the one that came along and it was like, oh, Halo's over, Halo's dead, Pariah's gonna beat it.
I do have a vague memory of this.
It definitely happened. It wasn't the best game. It felt like a ripoff of an Unreal game that was already out on the system. However, you could freely create maps for multiplayer from the hills, valleys, water to the buildings and vehicle placement, blah, 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 map creator mode, like the Forge mode in Halo 3. Then I guess there's Super Mario Maker. Basically, his question, though, ends up being, is there something that you would be interested in doing in all types of games? Do you think this should be a feature in more games? The Far Cry 5 thing, which just came out, the arcade thing, and a few games have this and have toyed with it, but it's never been done super well.
I'm aware that we like you said, never been done so well. I just have no interest in it. Like I don't want to make my own stuff in games. I don't like, I want a good game designer to make a thing that they think I'm really gonna like, and then I play that.
You know,
like I'm not going, like no one's going, oh, you know what, when I go to the movies, I wish it just ended 10 minutes earlier and then we could all get up and act out a little play where we come up with our own end of the movie.
But you do that. That's what we all do. Like that's what I is like we're all.
Excuse me?
This is a hell of a take.
Am I being given carte blanche to rush the stage at the end of Chimp Cop?
But we're all like, you know, I hate fucking, but creative people and whatever.
Yeah.
So why is it that in games that urge to like make something interesting isn't there as
well? I like that in some games. I never like level creation or map building or what or that, any of that stuff. But in Fallout 4, I love building structures and building the gardens and adding to the, all the existing houses. I like that stuff.
Yeah.
I like city building games. But there's some weird distinction between that and map builders.
Like a map editor.
That I have
no
interest
in. Well, for me, the reason I don't like it is because I'm not a game designer. In much the same way I don't like an audience member coming up to me after a gig and saying, yeah, you know, here's a joke that you should have made instead.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, you don't know. Listen, Adam, you don't know what you're fucking talking about.
Weird name you pick. But I think there's maybe something to be said for how you don't get to see the actual results of your level either. That was something that something like Mario Maker. If you could put that level up and straight away watch another person run through it.
Oh, yeah.
That's fuck it up and watch them. Because that's something that I think we all fucking like about comedy. You hear laugh straight away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that little Freudian slip there. I didn't say you hear laughter or you hear laughs. I said you hear laugh. I just had to point out that my brain hates what I do.
I think for me, like when I got Super Mario Maker, I really enjoyed it for like a day or two, but it just, the amount of time it was taking me to make a level, I was like, well, I would rather play, in this amount of time it's taken me, I would rather just play a game, or if I'm going to be creative, I would rather just work on my own comedy or do a drawing or like, to me, it's like, it's, I think part of it, why it doesn't scratch any kind of creative itch for me is because it's, I don't know. I just don't, to me, it doesn't feel creative in the same way that actual creation does.
Do you think that would change it for you though, if it were, because in Mario Maker and everything like that, Little Big Planet and whatever that I've ever done this with, you just throw it out into the ether and it's gone. And you've made that thing, like, well, there's no feedback, there's no watching people do it.
The issue as well is you can't design a game level for yourself to play and enjoy. It's not possible. The things about games that we enjoy are surprising and inventive and like teach us things. You can't build your own level and just play it yourself and get any level of enjoyment out of it.
No, you're building it for somebody else.
But I think for me, like watching someone else play the level, it wouldn't give me enjoyment because it would just feel like I've just designed this level. I didn't design this game that is really good.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's the mechanics. It's not the specific level of something that I think in what I think is. Whereas, you know, a comedy show, it's like I didn't invent comedy, but I wrote that whole,
You didn't invent comedy?
I mean, it's going to the courts next week and I'm really hoping for a win. I'm hoping I get custody of comedy in this battle. But yeah, I don't know. It's something about like, people come to see a show of mine and it's like I've the whole thing is me. Whereas like watching someone love a level I made, it's like, well, they actually love Mario. I happen to have made a good level in it, but it's not, I can't take any satisfaction in this person loving this level.
I wonder then, Nox, because Nox and I are in a group that creates things that are like very narrative based, and there's definite comparisons between games and sketch comedy.
Yeah.
You're setting up these
things. They both suck and nerds do.
And not enough people consume them. No, but it's about getting into a group and coming up with all those ideas and then putting those ideas in front of people and seeing if they work.
Yeah.
What I think would be maybe more attractive to me in a game level design sense is if I was guaranteed a bunch of people would definitely play it. If I could make a level, put it out there, and like 50 people played it the next day and enjoyed it, maybe that'd be what would get me into it.
Yeah, there's something about like, just the structure of it is too fucking, if I was going to do this, then I would have done it fucking years ago with Half-Life or whatever.
Sure.
And put it on whatever dumb website, because I think that's the thing that nobody's got properly done yet is making that structure of, but I don't know, how do you do that? Because then you're forcing people to play these shit levels that some idiots make. Like, I don't know how you do it, but that's why I'm not a game designer.
Maybe we are literally just talking about, but if we wanted to make games, we'd be game designers and it'd be rewarding.
Yeah. I mean, it's for me, and again, it's not to put too fine a point on it, but for me, like, and for all of us, but I mean, this is the reason I don't enjoy it. Creativity is, it's work. So if I'm playing a game, I want to just, I'm using that to switch off. I don't want to sit and be artistic and creative and go, and refine stuff, because that's what I spend like the rest of my day doing. I'm into it for a completely different release.
Yeah, that's probably exactly the same for us.
Whereas
someone who is doing it, maybe that is their creative outlet.
Totally.
And that's the thing. Whenever I've come close to doing this, it's to try and make little story things in like old RPGs and stuff. I remember Neverwinter Nights had a fucking thing where you could go through it. But it was at some point just a lot of work. That's not why I'm playing video games.
But like I said, in that first week of Mario Maker, I did really, really enjoy being given that, especially because it's a series of games that I've loved for, you know, as long, pretty much as they've been around.
Yeah.
Being given the keys to that was really cool. And then once that wore off, I was just like, this just takes too long. And I'd rather playing through other people's levels was really fun. But sitting there and doing it myself.
I'm glad there are people out there who do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So our next email comes in from Cameron. Not Cameroon.
No. Not the, Cameron.
Not the country. Just a man named Cameron.
Okay.
I've listened back through every episode of the podcast. Love him, by the way. That's nice, Cameron. Thank you. And noticed that you never addressed the most important question in gaming. Is it spelt video games or video games? Is there a space in the middle?
Yep.
No.
Even your Patreon page can't provide an answer as it uses both spellings within the first two sentences.
All right, here we go. Yeah. Now we're getting to the real point of this thing. Yeah. Having a fucking crack, are you, mate? Yeah.
Although the spelling with the space is more common, it's the choice of AP style.
Yeah, Associated Press.
Right. There are still some publications that use the single word video games, like Paste Magazine. The argument for no space is typically that the artistic medium should be one like film, music, etc. What's your preference? Does the distinction matter? Maybe add a hyphen in there. Should there even be called video games? So this is a part of the question I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Can you really label the incredibly wide variety of experiences the industry produces under just one title of games? A word that comes with a connotation of meaningless fun and a whole host of cultural baggage about who plays them. Mm-hmm. Some people have suggested the game is too limiting to describe everything the medium produces, or that it implies a lack of artistic vision and we should instead use something like interactive experiences. While it might be pointless discussion to have nearly 50 years after the name has been established, I do think names are important and it inspires interesting discussions and jokes on video game Twitter every once in a while. I'm a video games with no space person myself. What are your thoughts? That second half of that I think is really fucking interesting.
Yeah. Just quickly, speaking of Paste Magazine.
Yes.
Did you guys see NME is got, I mean.
Feel this magazine. It's like it's got paste all through it.
I swear. It's paste.
NME went out of business?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. No.
Yes. Today. Like that was announced today.
3 weeks ago.
The only thing I know about NME magazine that I've seen on there for the last like 20 years is sometimes one of the Gallagher brothers.
I was going to say, yes, it has to be Oasis.
That's
related
the
for you.
Only thing I associate with. But no, there's other stuff. But they seem to always be doing it.
NME is the Rolling Stone of England. Yeah.
That's pretty huge. Yeah. Like a big tastemaker for so long to be closing out. So it just made me think of that. Like it is such a big cultural thing for something that huge to be going, all right, yep, we're out.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
Well, and the cultural thing of this video games discussion I think is really interesting because it hasn't been changed since the start.
Yeah.
And that is like a 70s thing of like video game. Like, look, if we still call movies the talkies.
Yeah, moving pictures. Like if we still said, well, maybe we should just abbreviate video games to video. I feel sick.
Yeah.
No, that's awful.
I guess you're right. I mean, the talkie, but video games, it still is in terms of relatively a newer industry that still is.
At this point, though, compared to movies, like it's about half the time. Like it's
We're in the 40s for films now.
I guess it's
also. Citizen Kane is out.
Yeah.
And it is. What game is it? What's the Citizen Kane of video games?
No Man's Sky.
Yes.
I don't know. But it seems like a sort of a thing that would just never have. Like these days, I can't really imagine there being a thing online where it's like, guess what, everyone? They're not called video games anymore. They're called JB Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
Sorry, stores that have a video game section. It just would not.
It definitely won't be interactive experiences because it will never go longer.
Exactly. It's got to be one word and it's got to be a word that's not awful like video.
Crams.
It's called crams now, everyone.
Yeah.
I love playing my crams. get out there.
I think it's an interesting philosophical discussion. I don't know that it matters, though, in the end, right? Like, movies are called movies because they were called moving pictures and now it doesn't matter.
It's just short.
The baggage went away rather than, because they were silly little, put your 10 cents in at the fun fair, less than 10 cents, but, you know, put your penny in it, the penny arcade.
Yeah, penny is the smallest denomination of currency in history of the world.
Not true. There's what's a halfpenny?
It's
half a penny. What's sixpence?
That's six pennies.
But there was like a crown. A crown was less, I think, and like a half crown and a halfpenny was a half a penny.
Yeah,
so fucking shut up.
I tend to spell it without a space because it.
Yeah.
To me, it is like
same.
It's the term for the medium. It's not the word video and the word game.
Yeah, sort of game that's moving on a screen. It's yeah.
I have the space, but I've just never really thought about it and just do it. Video gleams. I put the space up just before the S. Video game.
But what is something that it could be changed to that's an actual word or an actual term or an actual combination of words?
What's that term they use for the study of it? It's like ludography or something. Like L-U-D-O, ludonarrative. Yeah. Ludos or something.
Ludos.
No, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, Ludes. It's never going to happen.
No.
But I like it, even though it is so far removed, like it does conjure up video games, like this real 80s idea of what they were. I like that.
I
like that we still reference that anytime we talk about, a Telltale game or a walking simulator that is so far removed from that. I like that we still bring it back to this thing of it's like, yeah, we're sitting in front of a screen, you know, controlling a thing.
It's reductive and it's simplistic, but it's I think it's charming because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Little like UA plugger. I live in Tuvalu, says Ross, a place far away from everything and with internet, if you can believe it, much worse than Australia.
Impossible.
Quick little
fact about Tuvalu that he doesn't point out in this. I hope I'm saying that right.
This is about fucking coins again. I'm going to kill
Tuvalu?
You.
Tuvalu. No, it's
Tuvalu.
Tuvalu.
Two in the pink.
One in the loo. Which does still work. You know when you go to websites that are .tv?
Yes.
It's not television. It's Tuvalu.
Oh, really?
Maybe not a big part, but a lot of websites sign up as though they're from them.
Yeah.
Right.
If you can believe it, though, their internet is much worse than Australia. Mm. I've been re-listening to all your old episodes because I can only get good enough internet to download podcasts once or twice a week.
It's the only time they come out.
I wish I was.
No need to throw your country's internet under the bus.
I wish I was feeling flush enough to have bought a Switch before moving here. It would have given me much more to do during my downtime. Anyway, a question if you need it. Games like to say they have real choices that change the outcome of the game. But in reality, very few actually do. So my question is this, have there ever been any instances where the choices did affect the way you felt about the game? What are the choices you've made in games that you have regretted? That's from Ross.
Well, that's sort of a couple of different questions there, I feel like, because the way that was phrased in the middle was, are there any choices that you've made in games that have changed the way you've felt about games?
Yeah.
Which absolutely, almost every game with choices presented to the player, I've felt at the time... And, you know, in the aftermath of the decision, like it meant something.
But that can be a trick and it isn't technically actually a change.
It's almost exclusively a trick, right?
So I played a bit more of, I hadn't played it for a couple of months, but Persona 5 the other night. And so you constantly, anything where you're in conversations and you're having to choose, it's so dumb because I really stress about what I'm going to pick in that moment. And then, like, you know that it doesn't mean anything. Like you could just go, oh, I'll always pick the top thing. But in my head I go, because I've been given the choice, I should, and this is like an avatar of me in this game, I should answer it how I would actually answer it in the real world. It's such a dumb thing to get caught up in.
Yeah. I tend to treat those games and those choices as like a way to become immersed in the character. So it's not necessarily what I would choose, but I've gone, I'm this character in this game. Like Mass Effect is a really good one where you kind of decide who you're going to be, how you're going to play, and then making those choices within the bounds of that character that you've chosen help immerse you further in the game. That's how I tend to treat them.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, sure, maybe after the fact it's not a real choice or the choice doesn't have meaning within the game, but in the moment it helped me get more immersed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's clearly, that's why it's done. Mm. The two things that stick out for me are in Resident Evil 4, early on there's a bit where there's a dog caught in a trap and you let him out, and then in the first boss he kind of comes out of nowhere and helps you. And like in the moment I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like I could have not done that and I wouldn't have had this little bit of help.
Right.
He kind of does nothing.
Right.
And the other one is the end of Cave Story, where as this base is blowing up, you are given the option of making an escape with this scientist who's like, he's gotten on his little ship and he's flying away.
Mm.
So you can go with him, and then it basically cuts to a shot of you just on the ship with him and it just sits there in the sky of you flying around and nothing happens.
Right.
Like it just pauses there and it basically leaves you to work out, oh, I wasn't meant to do that. I was meant to go back and save this person.
Right.
And you have to reset the game and go back to your last save and do it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold on for 2 seconds there. Can you wiggle your mic around a bit? Yeah, it's really the top of it is making a noise. That's better. I think. Wiggle it now. Yeah, that's gone. That solved it. All right. Yeah, I often find that I, because like I remember something recently that I definitely went, oh no, fuck, I feel bad about doing that, and it's gone out of my head now.
Yeah,
because like I think ultimately I do always think of them, like you were saying, it's like it doesn't actually matter.
Right. No. Well, like I said, I could only think of two that I remember going, and sure, one of them was quite recent, but I did think that was a cool way of like, yeah, you get given this choice, it doesn't fuck the game up, but it is a cool thing of like, you know, you have to reset now and actually go back and do the right thing.
Right.
And yeah,
do the right thing. That had a lot of
gotta always do the right thing.
Crazy shit in it, that film.
Yeah. Movie. So, moving picture.
Ludo narrative experience.
But yeah, I definitely would like to see more stuff in games where, yeah, you get given this thing that you can just walk past and ignore, but if you don't, you do kind of get helped in some way, and it does actually affect what you're doing rather than just these. It feels like it's always like in terms of what you say to people where you know that in the grand scheme of things, it's not really going to change it anyway.
Right.
So given that it's all inconsequential, I would prefer it to be, oh, this is just a cool little thing is going to happen that you're going to remember and you're going to feel good like, oh, I did that and now this happens.
Yeah.
Doesn't change the game at all, but it just sticks out. Yeah. Well, rather than just like answering a question in one of three ways that are all kind of the same. And
right.
That was a shitty thing about Fallout 4. That every different option you had was basically yes, but angry, yes, but sad, yes, but something.
Yeah.
Just have the, if you want to make a character, have him automatically do it then.
Yeah, sure.
It's the, that would be my preference at least.
It probably would be remiss of us to not talk about Telltale a bit more in depth because that is the big one.
Yeah.
All you're doing is making choices in that game.
Yeah. Sort of. In those games. Yeah. They don't really. They're very much the one where it's, oh, they tricked me.
Yes, because what on the surface, it's like, great, a choose-your-own-adventure that I'm playing through. I'm a little bit more immersed than I would be otherwise. It's a story. I'm making decisions about where the story's going to go. This is revolutionary. Mm. And like the one that really got me was the Game of Thrones game.
Right, I haven't played that.
It's really good because it's a well-written story that plays out pretty much the same no matter how you play it.
It was the same with the first series of The Walking Dead.
Right.
Where there was one choice in particular somewhere around the middle that really affected stuff and really seemed like I had caused it to happen.
Right.
You can do the exact opposite decisions and the same thing happens.
Yeah. Right.
Which, yeah, I think you were saying this basically before of make the trick, write it, have the preference be for the writing and then do that, have the trick affect that rather than make it two shitty paths that are less well written but have an actual choice.
Yeah I mean, I'm fine with it just being a little superfluous bells and whistles thing that's like it triggers a thing that's like impressive but meaningless.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean that's why I've never been able to really get too enthused about Telltale stuff because it does seem like what's going to happen is going to happen, and I would rather just watch something if I'm going to sit there touching a screen every minute.
Yeah,
I'd rather just actually disconnect and just sit and relax and watch something.
I think they tend to successfully trick me. Like The Wolf Among Us is the best fable story that's been written, and I felt like I was involved, and I wasn't really. I was just watching a visual graphic novel play out in front of me.
Yeah,
but it got me. And the same with Game of Thrones. It was only the second time I played through that I was like, oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess we just have a bit of a higher IQ than you and it's easier, it's harder to fool us. So.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe I'm just more of a romantic, more of a dreamer, you know?
I really want to remember who this... Someone died in a game that I played and I'd caused it to happen. I was like, oh, that I feel bad about that.
I
very quickly afterwards went, oh, but who fucking actually cares?
Right.
What's come out this year? Or last year. Again, who cares?
It honestly, the most of the time that happens in a game, it's a little cheap trick and then you move on and you don't.
Totally.
Doki Doki?
Huh?
Doki Doki Literature Club.
Ooh.
Maybe.
You did could get be, annoyed
could
at that.
Could be.
Because it really does make you think.
All right, he's stuck. He's stuck in a loop.
Because it really does lead you to think that it
was your choice.
It's really
That game was all about fake choice too.
Yeah, though, yes. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah. It really sets it up like you chose this and now this stuff is happening and this is very unique.
Mm. Yeah, could have been that one.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never know. My memory is terrible and it's a spotty nightmare.
It's probably that one though. We talked about it on the show.
Speaking of nightmares, is it time to put this episode to bed and go and have a little bit of a sleep when I will inevitably have nightmares?
Or you committed to doing a gig and time is running out for you to get an Uber to that gig and so you need us to wrap up right now.
I would have been able to do it, but I said no to the gig to do
this. Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You told me to.
No, did we?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also, it is just more about the time that the episode would normally end.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, great. Let's wrap it up then.
It's I've made sacrifices to be here today.
Yeah.
And I don't feel as though they've been respected, to
I
be
respected
frank.
Them.
Well, that doesn't mean anything to me.
If you died, I would move on with the game.
All right, guys. Yeah, thank you for listening. Come out and see us at the Comedy Festival this month. Mm. We'll be back next week. We'll have our thoughts on Far Cry 5 and that sexy, sexy map editor.
Oh, yes.
Seems like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Feelthecasuals.com.au for links to our socials and all of our... various things that you could find, the Patreon, the Bandcamp premium episodes.
Feel free to edit this out if I'm wrong. Ready Player One is coming out soon after this episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, today. Mm. It came out today.
Yes.
Definitely going to see it and definitely going to talk about it on this show.
I might not come and see it.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going to go and I'm going to force you to come with us.
Yeah.
For the sake of content.
The amount of fucking sacrifices I made. All right.
Well, you shouldn't have bailed out of that gig to come and see the movie with us. All right, guys, thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
I hope you've enjoyed this Ludo Audio interactive experience. When will they change the word podcast?
Oh.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.